do understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium. World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Oil hits an all-time high at $81.24 a barrel. A record number of housing foreclosures were recorded last week. Iran continues to threaten Israel and the United States, saying that it would be a mistake for either one of them to attack them, that they would pay a dear price. Iran says that it has the right to continue its pursuit of nuclear power, claiming that it will use it only for peaceful purposes. But the rest of the nations are not convinced. Even China and Russia are trying to get Iran to hold back on its pursuit of nuclear power. According to some reports, Israel takes out nuclear installations inside Syria, installations perhaps provided by the North Koreans. Congress and the Bush administration continue arguing over the management of the war in Iraq. And more evidence begins to mount and surface pointing toward a North American Union of the United States, Mexico, and Canada called SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership. Immigrants continue to flood into the country. Health care becomes more and more unaffordable for the average American, and the beat goes on, and there are many, many other items that we really need to be concerned about, events that are looming on the world scene. And it seems that every week some so-called celebrity goes bonkers and the media grinds that event into the ground until we're all sick and tired of hearing about it. And in view of all of this, where does it leave you and me as we try to survive in a world that was unknown to us just 10 years ago? Every day and in every way, Americans are being desensitized and becoming more and more the pawns of their masters. You might ask, who are the masters? The masters are the politicians, the media gurus, the entertainment world, the money managers, the so-called scientific world, the intellectual world, and in some cases, religious leaders. What do all of these have in common? The common denominator in all of this is the cry for unbridled freedom. There are no absolutes. God is not relevant. We must solve our own problems. Don't expect a knight to come along in shining armor and to deliver us. They all talk about diversity and tolerance as if those words had some kind of inherent magical power for transforming the human condition. But there is no central core of values that will provide any kind of coherent unity that will move us forward in any of their rhetoric. The best they can do is to bring political candidates together to debate the issues, and then the media interprets for us who was most effective and who has the most to offer. The so-called news programs have been basically reduced to weird news snippets of Can You Believe? And wait till you see this film footage. All of this is really detraction from the great issues that are plaguing the peoples of the world at the present time. It allows them to manage us and to continue to treat us as if we were pawns on the chessboard of life. The news channels bring people from opposing points of view, and they argue with each other while the listeners endure the meaningless banter. Leadership based on sound moral principles and a vision for helping people attain to higher standards of thought and action have all but disappeared from our public forums. How are you going to really get the message out? And when you get the message out, you have so many doubters, so many that are standing in the seat of the scornful, that it is difficult for anyone to take any serious message the way it should be taken. Would-be leaders have become slaves to opinion polls, and people who have not been disciplined to think things through generally go the path of least resistance. They are seduced almost imperceptibly by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Where does this leave all of us? Where does this leave the average person? As we've already noted, they become more and more desensitized and withdraw more and more into their own little world. Most Americans do not have a philosophy of life based on a well-reasoned worldview of the purpose of human existence. Why were you born? Why are you here? What is the purpose of human existence? Is there a great plan being worked out among the sons of men? Does God really exist? Is he really who he says he is? Even those who claim to believe in God have basically reduced their religious life to a quick profession of belief in Jesus and go back to living the way they have always lived. At the beginning of the program, we listed a number of major issues that the peoples of the world are facing at this time. Most people are not even aware of these things. They are caught up in the here and now. Talk to almost anyone you want to name, and they will tell you that they have never seen the peoples of the world in such a state of confused bewilderment as they are today. As you look at the world today, you might say, there's nothing you can do to change the course of human events. And that might be true on a global scale, but each one of us can change the way we live our lives. The battle that is being waged is for our minds. We are now being mind-managed. We're on an endless treadmill that goes in a circle consisting of trying to survive in a world that has no sense of direction. We're being directed by our jobs, by media and entertainment. What little family interaction that takes place in today's world centers on entertainment, mainly television. The purpose of television is to sell whatever product that is being advertised as we sit in a mindless stupor while being bombarded with endless commercials. But we endure them and keep on watching. What if we took control of our lives and began to really talk with each other and develop strategies to change our lives and take control of our thoughts and actions? As the old saying goes, where there are none so blind as those who will not open their eyes to see. Do you have your head buried in the sand? Do you see what's going on? Do you see the handwriting on the wall? The peoples of the world are analogous to children who've been blindfolded and placed on a merry-go-round. Such an experience presents the rider with a sense of euphoric disorientation. But when they get off the merry-go-round, they find that they are lost their sense of balance and stumble and oftentimes fall. People today may think what they're doing feels good, and it's the way to be in the in crowd. But the fruits of our society cry loud and long that we need to get off the merry-go-round, plant our feet on the ground, and gain a sense of direction. When a people are robbed of transcendental goals and values, they're reduced to satiating the senses, and the greatest good becomes seeking pleasure. People who are not directed by transcendental goals and values can never become anything greater than themselves. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting is clear. The world is on a collision course with disaster. The nations of the world are arming themselves as never before. Many of them already possess weapons of mass destruction, and those who don't possess such weapons are scrambling to secure them. Take a quick survey of the world from east to west and note the nations who have the bomb. North Korea, though North Korea says that they're now shutting down their nuclear installations. Some pundits believe that North Korea had the bomb long before this latest round of negotiations took place in the latest wrangle between the North Koreans and the U.S. China has the bomb. Russia, India, Pakistan. Iran claims that it will have the capability soon. Israel has the bomb, or lots of bombs, they say. France, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And there are perhaps hundreds of suitcase bombs in the hands of various terrorist groups. But nuclear weapons constitute only one part of the weapons equation. There are many other frightful weapons that can be unleashed on humankind, biological, chemical, and a host of others. However, even in view of this, it is my experience that no matter how cogently argued, or how eloquently presented, or how dramatic the emotional appeal is, the voices that cry out to the desensitized peoples of the world, these voices and these warnings go unheeded. I often wonder why that is the case. In the history of the Bible and God's dealings with the nation of Israel, he faced the same problem. So this problem is an historic problem where the peoples of the world, even the peoples that God directly dealt with, the nation of Israel, as he brought Israel into the promised land, and during the days of the judges and the kings, even during the time of the captivity and bringing them back, the building of the second temple, and then to the time of Christ, even the peoples of the world that have had some direct knowledge of God have tended to go their own way. Even Jesus Christ talks about in Matthew 23 how that they had killed all the prophets that had been sent to them. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will explore the question of when is the time to call upon God. In view of all of the things that are going on in the world today, is this the time to call upon God? Is this the time to get down on our knees and truly seek Him? If you would really like help in coming to understand the purpose of human existence, why we draw breath, what is going on here on earth, and why we're here, and what God is doing, and what He has in mind for all of us, then you need to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? And also, we will send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine. This article, actually it's a booklet, What is Your Destiny? And the Good News Magazine will help you ferret out many of the things that are taking place in the world today, help you separate the wheat from the chaff so you can get on the road, the path to eternal life. And speaking of that, we will also send you a free booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. You may think you're already on that road, but are you sure? Do you know what is really required? So all you have to do to receive the free literature is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we saw that there are many things going on in the world today that we really need to be concerned about. The nation's quest for nuclear armaments, the fact that the world, the nations of the world, are arming themselves as never before, on the one hand, crying peace, and on the other hand, arming themselves to the hilt and selling weapons to one another. Even oftentimes those that are enemies sell weapons to the other nation. Where is all of this headed? Where is this going? And it seems that as world conditions get worse, whether it be wars and rumors of war, earthquakes in different places, upset weather, disease, crime, poverty, all of the various ills that humankind faces at the same time. And in view of all of this, it seems that we get farther and farther away from God, the only one who can really do anything about what we're facing. As I mentioned in the first segment of our program, that in the history of the Bible, we see that God's dealings with the nation of Israel, in those dealings, He often faced the same kind of problem, because they would just wouldn't really respond and do the things that they needed to do on a consistent basis. Let's note how the psalmist describes this history in Psalm 78. If you're not familiar with Psalm 78, it's one of the great summary psalms of the whole Bible. We'll read a couple of verses. The psalmist recounts all the things that God did for them, and yet they did not believe in God's deliverance. It was only after he allowed great calamity to come upon them that they would return to him. Reading from Psalm 78 and verse 23, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given of them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of the camp round about their habitations. So they did eat, and were all filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged, however, from their lusts. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for the wondrous works. Therefore their days did consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. Is that what it's going to take for us? When he slew them, they sought him. We have seen such calamities in the past. In World War II, the churches of the land were filled, and the churches in Europe were filled. And we experienced briefly after 9/11 a similar kind of thing, that once again the churches were filled briefly and people were offering up prayers, but it didn't last very long, and now they have gone even farther away from God. The psalmist continues here. Remember that what it says here, that when he slew them, they sought him. Is that what it will take for us? And they remember that God was their rock, that is, after he would slay them, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not, yet many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. Yes, this life is very short, and we were created for the purpose of being sons and daughters in the family of God. You know, I'm quite sure that you are being tested and tried in your life right now. God is not slaying you as he did at times with ancient Israel so he could get their attention. But I'm sure that you're being tested and tried at this time. I don't know of anyone right now that is not in the midst of great trials in their lives. These trials come from so many different directions and sources. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters, sickness, obsessive compulsive behavior, spouse abuse, child abuse, alcohol and drug addiction, criminal behavior, financial problems, communication problems, and the list could go on and on of the various trials that are besetting the sons of men. And regardless of who you are and where you are, at least one of these things is encroaching upon your life at the present time. There is only one hope for you at this time, and that is to seek God while he can be found. The prophet Isaiah cries out in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near." A lot of people think that they can put God and the truth on the shelf until a more convenient day, that he'll always be there. But the prophet Amos lets us know in Amos chapter 8, the last five or six verses there, you could read that there will come a time of a famine of the hearing of the word. They'll run to and fro seeking the word at the mouth of God, and they will not be able to find it. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. How much higher are God's thoughts than our thoughts? He says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yet we want to be bogged down in the mundane thinking of mere mortals who claim that they have the keys to peace and prosperity. He goes on to say, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. You say, oh, well, I can resist the word of God, and so you can. But at the same time, the word of God not only has an invitation to seek him, but it also says, eventually, if you don't, you will be brought into judgment, and you will pay the price. He goes on to say, but it shall accomplish, that is his word, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God is not going to always plead with flesh. He is going to enter into judgment with the nations, and he's going to enter into judgment with each one of us. And the nations and each one of us will be brought into account. During this period of time, God is going to turn a deaf ear until they begin to seek him with their whole heart. Let's notice how the prophet Hosea describes this time. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Many commentators believe, of course, that this is the time of the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And then they'll say in their affliction, come and let us return unto the Eternal, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So the key is that we have to go and seek him. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. How do you come to know the Lord? You do that by communication, talking with him and him talking with you and you responding to him. If you go on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain and the latter and former rain unto the earth. So how do you seek God? It begins with prayer, study, and meditation. You may have read certain passages from the Bible in the past, and you may even go to church. But do you really understand what you're reading? Remember the story in Acts chapter 8, how the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot returning from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia, apparently having kept the feast days in Jerusalem, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip came up and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I unless some man teach me? And Philip got into the chariot and more perfectly expounded to him the word of God and let him know that the prophet was speaking of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Sadly, most preaching and teaching today have reduced the Christian experience to only believing in Jesus. Now, it's necessary to believe in Jesus, but it is also necessary to believe and obey what Jesus taught. The greatest positive motivating force in the universe is love. You often see people waving a placard at a lot of the athletic events with John 3:16 written on it. God's love and grace makes it possible for us to know Him. So John 3:16, probably most people who've ever been to church can quote, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe on, you also have to be come to the point where you are willing to obey what He says. Jesus Christ says, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments just as I have kept My Father's commandments." The Apostle John, he defined love in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So to know Him goes far beyond to believe in the existence of God, or to believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth and died for our sins. So He did, and we must believe in that, and we must repent and exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for the remission of sins that are past, and be baptized, which means that we are making a commitment to crucify the old man, put the old man to death, and be raised to newness of life, to live according to the Word and Spirit of God. Even the demons recognized and confessed that Jesus was the Son of God during His earthly ministry, but they would not repent and obey Him. Their minds had become hardened and perverted, and they were set, thus they are not capable of repentance. So many people harden their heart and wait for a more convenient day, not realizing that each time you harden your heart, it becomes easier to reject your calling. Solomon writes in Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That's Proverbs 29 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And that's in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. So this great sin of unbelief, not really believing that God will do what He says He will do, and not really doing what He says to do. The simplest definition of faith is to believe God and do what He says, because faith without works is dead. So what about you? Will you harden your heart, or will you turn to God at this time with heartfelt repentance? The world will continue to go its way until the nations are brought into judgment. But you don't have to be judged with the world. You can open the pages of your Bible, judge yourself, confess that you're a sinner, and turn to God in repentance. Seek His mercy, and He will forgive you. He will then give you His Spirit, and you will be set free from fear, guilt, superstition, and the dogmas of man. You can know the truth, and the truth will indeed set you free. And if Christ has made you free, you shall be free indeed. And that freedom is not a cloak of liberty to do whatever you want to do, because God has called you so that you will mind the things of the Spirit. If we mind the things of the Spirit, there is no condemnation. Paul writes in Romans 8:13, "If we mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. But on the other hand, if we don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, it means death, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And sin is the transgression of God's immutable spiritual law." 1 John 3, verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. So right now, you can call upon God, and He will hear, He will answer. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, "What is Your Destiny?" It will explain to you the purpose of human existence, the road to eternal life, the true path to eternal life, and a subscription to the Good News Magazine. All you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station next week at this time for World News and Prophecy.